Always nice to be here and always good to have a chance to share the Word of God with people who we love and appreciate and who have blessed us and been good friends for many years. As Leonard said, we've walked together a long time. My message this morning will be on walking with God, and I was just thinking it's been a long walk and it's just getting better all the time, literally. And thinking back to the days of sitting on the barn roof or talking about whether we should serve Jesus, and like 50-something years ago. And just seeing the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God as you walk with Him. And I don't need to tell you this, but the world is a troubled place. A lot of stuff happening around the world that's upsetting and discouraging and confusing. But it's always been that way. That's not a new thing. If you go back to Adam and Eve, and their first two children, Cain and Abel, was already going. And if you follow history throughout the whole Old Testament, and that sets the stage for what I want to talk about this morning, but if you just follow it through from the line of Cain and the evil and up to the flood, and then after the flood, that kept going with Nimrod and the developer of the kingdom of Babel, and then Babylon, and then all the kingdoms that Daniel prophesies about up until the very end and to where we are right now. That evil world system developing, and with it all the evil and corruption and everything that we see and have seen. But at the same time, today and all through history, God has been doing His program. And the beautiful things happening. And if we had time and opportunity to share what's happening in Ethiopia and the region around Ethiopia, it's phenomenal. Over the last season of Ramadan, we sent out, just us and our team working and what we do, sent out 60,000 who used to be Muslims, who are now believers, who are trained in the Word of God and zealous for the kingdom of God. 60,000 going out to all corners of the country, 25,000 of those crossing the borders into some of the toughest countries in the world, like Djibouti and Somalia and Eritrea and Northern Sudan and Yemen. And like, God is at work in the most amazing ways. So while we see all the trouble, we see all the beauty. And that's been going all through history. So while Cain was being a miserable guy, Seth was a spiritual guy. And the line of Seth, and we come up to Enoch and Noah, and then God's program. So parallel, the world systems, God's program parallel with it. And you have like Enoch, Noah, and then Abraham, and Moses, and David, and then Jesus comes. And then His church, us now, filled with the Holy Spirit, I hope. And that's what we're really looking at this morning from Acts chapter 1. But filled with the Spirit, carrying on God's program while the world is carrying its program on. And then ultimately, we come to the book of Revelation and the two meet. And Jesus brings His elect and fights that battle and destroys that whole system. It's again referred to as Babylon, picturing the whole thing from all the way back to all the way to the end. Destroys it and then sets up His kingdom and those who will be with Him. We are invited to walk with God. And that's really where I'm going this morning. And I just pray God will open our eyes, open our hearts, open His Word to us by the Spirit of God, to just see what an incredible thing we are invited into. And I'm not talking about the world being invited into salvation. I'm talking about the salvation ones, the saved, being invited to walk with God. And the joy, the power, the blessing, and the pain and the cost, it all goes together. And we'll look at some of that this morning. So what I want to emphasize is that walking with God is reciprocal, or it's relational. It's not just God will bless us, I'm walking, and He's up here somehow overshadowing what I'm doing. But we walk together. And the Bible is so many times it talks about, if you will, then He will. If I will, then He will. And we'll look at some of those, but there's many, many more all through Scripture. And it's reciprocal, or it's walking together. I love Psalm 18 where God's speaking to David, or David speaking to God and praying and sharing, and said, David had success in all his undertakings, for the Lord was with him. But David was the one, the Bible testifies of, who had a heart after God. So if I have a heart after God, God has a heart after me. We walk together. The Lord was with him. And that's what made everything David did successful. And the same, Paul makes the same kind of comments through the New Testament. And so this amazing theme in Scripture is all your heart. All your heart. Not a divided heart. Not a, I'll give God some. It, like that theme, I was reading the Old Testament again just this last month and a half, all the way through, just to see what it's saying again in one reading, not bit by bit and piece by piece. And the theme that comes out over and over and over and over, and I looked it up later 50 times plus through Old and New Testament, is this: with all your heart and soul. And he's over so many times to Israel and so many times in the New Testament. If you will serve him, yeah, walk with him, yeah, with your whole heart and soul, then God will walk with you. I could, anyway, I'll move on, but the promise in the book of Acts is you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit to the believers, those who are baptized in Christ, come into Christ. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But wait for the promise of the Father when he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The promise. And I can guarantee you that you already know this, but I'm saying it again. We need that promise. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then Acts chapter 1, 8 explains it more. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then goes on, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So you will be baptized, you will receive power, and then you will be my witnesses. Amen. Now, in that same passage, he says, what is not for you is to know when this is all going to, his coming. When, they were asking him, when is this going to happen? And he said, that's not for you to know. But you... And I love that passage, that concept, because everybody loves to think, when is Jesus coming? Is he, you know, are these the end times we're in now, or we have another 100 years, or 5 more years, or this month, or, and we love to concentrate on that, and we've heard all kinds of stuff about that. But God's word says, that's not for you to fuss about or worry about. But what is for you is to be baptized, receive power, and be my witness. And you've probably heard this, but I emphasize it again. Witness is not your mouth. We will witness with our mouth, but it's talking about your life. It's talking, the word witness in the Greek is the word we get martyr from. You will be a martyr for me. You will give your life for me, is what he's talking about. You will die for me, not just physically, but you will give everything for me. You will be a martyr. And Paul says similar in Romans. And this is not hard, in case you're thinking this is hard. This is beautiful, because out of this flows life and walking with God and God's blessing and fruitfulness. So it's blessing, but it costs everything. You will be a martyr for me. And then Paul says similar in Romans, those who will give your life as a living sacrifice, holy unto God. We need that concept, walking with God, repeated throughout the Bible. The faithful who will reign with Christ, those who are witnesses, and those who will be blessed by God, if you'll give your whole heart, your whole life, your whole energy to knowing and loving and walking with the living God. Now, I don't want to get into it because of time, but if you walk through the whole book of Revelation, you will see this theme over and over, and as the two, this one and this one, come towards the end and the conclusion, and they meet in the book of Revelation, the battle is fought, and that kingdom is overthrown, and Christ sets up his. This theme, witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ. Throughout the book of Revelation, many times, you will be a witness to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, and I'll look at that for a second. And then the outcome of that, also through the book of Revelation, repeated over and over, blessed is the one, blessed is the one, blessed is the one who will be a testimony for the word of God and Jesus Christ. But if you also read it, it costs you. And the cost is high, but the reward is high. It's not easy, but who cares about easy? What is easy? Serving Jesus is not always easy, but it's the place of blessing. So he says this in Revelation, John, who bore witness to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was on the Isle of Patmos on the account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And later on he said, they were slain for the word of God and the witness they had borne. And I also, later he says in chapter 20, saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God. So the message is, stand true to God and you will be blessed. Because the next thing, which I won't read, but eight places where it says blessed are, follows that same theme. The faithful to God, the faithful who walk with God are blessed, 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 blessed. We want blessing, but we don't want to be faithful to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus that costs us our whole life, costs us to be a martyr for Christ in the physical and in the emotional, spiritual, every which way. Die for him, live for him, walk with him. Now, I'll just emphasize again, baptized, you will receive power, and then be faithful witnesses, then you're blessed, and then rewarded at his coming. To the faithful, now here's the reciprocal part of it. It all is, but I want to emphasize this. It's like I hear so much in the modern church world trying to tell everybody that you don't have to do anything, and God has done it all, and there's no works that you have to do. And I didn't want to do this, but I will. If you know, people are so afraid of preaching a gospel of works that we forgot what the New Testament tells us about works. And the Bible says clearly, faith without works, amen. So if you're preaching a gospel without works, you're preaching a dead faith. Do we want a dead faith? I don't. Some might, I don't. And you don't, so that's a good thing. To the reciprocal thing is, as you respond, God responds. There's obvious ones like draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. So what happens if you don't draw near to God? Then he's not drawing near to me. He still loves me, I guess. Yes, he does. He loves everybody, even the sinner. But the reciprocal, relational part of it is what we miss out on. To the faithful, God is faithful. We must be faithful stewards of the grace God has given us, the Bible says. It is required of a steward to be found faithful, it says in another place. And when we come to the book of Revelation, it's going to be, guess who's going to be with Jesus when he fights that battle, destroys that whole system that started with Cain and all of the way down? His called, his chosen, and his faithful. And I want to learn that. I want to understand it and live it out and walk it out, walking in the promise of God, filled with the Spirit every day. Because to do this, we need the power of the Holy Spirit every day. It's not a one-time filling or even just on occasion. It's full of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, living a life filled. so that the Spirit of God, the water, living water, is flowing out wherever you are and wherever I am, touching people and changing things and seeing stuff happen, walking with the living God. I want to emphasize that's the place for joy. If you're not there, then joy is pretty hard to muster up. But if you're there, you understand and you feel it, the joy of the Lord as you're walking with Him and seeing Him touch people's lives around you and accomplishing kingdom stuff. Romans 8:13 makes it clear that being filled with the Holy Spirit is the difference between walking in life and walking in death. All believers he's talking to, but those who walk in life and those who walk without that life. And he said, if you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the old nature, you'll live. But if you live according to them, you'll die. So there's this beautiful need of the Holy Spirit every day to keep the old flesh where it's supposed to be and that's dead, and the new life of Christ and the purpose of God and the will of God out in front of us, living it, walking it with God, not by yourself, with God. And that is the beauty of it. Now, I'll emphasize it again another way. And I pray, God, that you will speak to us, that you'll open our hearts and teach us, because I want to learn it and I want to live it. Matthew 22:14 says, many are called, but few are chosen. Called has to do with invited to a life walking with God. We are all invited. Nobody is excluded. Whatever and wherever you are and whatever the past or whatever weaknesses that you can put aside, and the blood of Christ that we sang about and rejoiced about this morning cleanses and washes and removes. And then we are invited to walk with the living God. This is talking to us, the believers, called. Many are called. And then he says, chosen, which is the same word for selected or elect. Chosen. Literally, it means picked out from among. So let me illustrate it in a simple way, because just let me do it. It's like if I was looking for a team in the church to lead an area of ministry, and I would look around and I would say, okay, and I won't point in case I accidentally point to somebody. There's one. And bring those together to do this because they have what it takes. They have the heart, the passion, the energy, the willingness to serve God. That's the chosen, the elect, in this context. So we're all invited. Nobody's excluded from the invitation to walk close with God, to come in and embrace the heart and passion of God and give my whole heart and my whole life to walking with Him. Not a divided heart that James talks about, the double-minded that's unstable, but with a whole heart. Everybody is invited. That's what I love. He invited me of all the people in the world that he would invite to walk with him. But he did. And then chosen has to do with those who accept the invitation, who step in and walk with God and be faithful in fulfilling God's purpose and direction for your life. And Revelation 17:14, in that final, when Jesus comes to get those who will be with him in the battle and setting up his kingdom, not just all the saved, but those who will reign with him, who will fight with him, those ones, he says, with him will be the called, the chosen, and faithful. So fulfill it, walk it out, faithful. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent, Peter said, to make your calling and your election sure. Or confirm it, or here am I, Lord, send me, I'm in, I want this, not today and not just in the service and not just when everything's smooth, but throughout life, into the deepest, darkest points of life, through the challenges, through the good things and the bad things, I'm in, and I'm standing and I'm finishing the race. Faithful is what he said. Those ones called, chosen, and faithful, he will raise up for that purpose. And that's very clear. You can study it out. I won't have time now to go into detail on it. It's reciprocal. And I want to emphasize that. It's a walk with God. I was thinking of it the other day. If you have that close relationship with him and his face is on you and your face is towards him, as we talked about earlier time, then you want to do what pleases God. Yeah. Like, imagine if your mother is watching you and you're sitting in the living room and your mother's watching you. You're not going to flip on the pornography channel and sit there and watch it while your mom is watching you. You'd know. God's face is on you. And if your face is towards him, if you don't want his face, you don't have to have it. But if you want it, like Moses said, if your face doesn't go with me, I don't go, kind of, then it empowers us, it strengthens us, it gives us the fear of God. I won't steal that little bit of money or cheat that guy or lie to this or... Because we're walking with a living God, it's reciprocal, it's face to face. His face and my face are in focus. And that's important, and that gives me courage and power in the middle of the battle. When you're facing some of the deepest trials, his face is there, his presence is there. Does it mean you don't go through the trial? Well, read the Bible, you'll find out that's not what it's saying. But he's with us, and he walks with us, and you grow through it. And he gives you wisdom in the heart of the battle. And we rise up through it and grow through it and see the fruit of it and break through and see God do things. Here's some reciprocal, and it would take a whole message, each one of these verses themselves, but just to emphasize them. If you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. John 14 and 15, five times that theme is emphasized clearly. I'll just mention two. Chapter 14, 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Okay, the one who keeps his commandments, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me, Jesus said, will be loved by my Father. I thought the Father loved everybody. What's he talking about? Chapter 14, and he says it many times, in 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, Jesus said, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. If. So when the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he loved the world, everybody in it, enough to die for it. We celebrated that this morning. Shed his blood for everyone who would ever turn to him, everyone in the world. He said, love your enemies. Okay, that's a one-way love. I'm to love my enemy. That's not easy, and I see what I can do about it. But that's different than loving my granddaughter or loving my son or loving my wife. That's a reciprocal, that's relational. So, yeah, God loves you. But he said, if you love me and keep my word, then the Father will love you. There's a different thing there going on, a relational, reciprocal love. Yes. And that's what you want to walk in, walk with God in, because it brings the fullness of God into every circumstance of your life. It brings the fullness of his presence, the fullness of his power, the fullness of his wisdom. That's for you. That's for me. If, don't miss out on the if I will, then he will. He says another place, and I'll wrap up with this series of themes soon. Or maybe not, no. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Because everyone, he said, who does, everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, it will be opened. And he's talking here about those who hunger and thirst for him. Yes. And you need eyes and ears to hear it and see it. James said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And the context is when you're going through the difficulties of life, and they are designed by God to shape you and build you into strength and make you perfect, he said. Complete, lacking nothing. That's the purpose of what's happening. But you lack wisdom. It doesn't make sense. Ask God. He'll give you that wisdom. So let him ask of God. But then James goes on to say, you better ask right. Ask correctly, accurately. And I'm not going to belabor the point because you can read it yourself. But he said, you ask and don't receive because you ask wrong. And I think maybe it relates to what you shared this morning. I'm asking for my burdens, or am I asking to know God and walk with God and be a servant of His and effective in His kingdom and knowing Him? And then these things are added. Yeah. We can ask for them. He said, make your request, but that can't be the focus of your life. The focus of my life is to ask for His wisdom, the wisdom that comes from heaven. Ask right, not to consume it on your lusts, as James puts it. And then he goes on to say, don't doubt. And it's not talking again about, I'm asking God, I need a new house, and if I doubt, I won't get it, so I gotta keep holding on. I don't doubt. I believe. It's nothing to do with that. Doubting is talking about a double mind, asking with a double mind. He explains it clearly, which means a divided loyalty between me and my interests and God. Two masters, the world, that kingdom, and what it offers that we are supposed to not be conformed to, but we do conform to it, half and half to the kingdom of God, double-minded. And James said, don't think you're going to get it. Nothing about your house or your car. It's about your life walking with the living God, about being a witness, a testimony, your life bearing the fruit. So ask right, he said. So let's double-check our motives all the time, every day, in fact, and ask guided by the Spirit. Ask for wisdom from above, because we're walking with the living God. And we want His will. We want His way. Now, ask and you'll receive. Then you will seek the right things. And the Bible's clear what to seek. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And these things will be added as needed. So if we ask right, not just for, then we'll seek right, and then we'll knock at the right door, and it will open. And what is it that opens? And I finish right with this right now, or close. I know, I can tell when Leonard's getting nervous that I'm going to go long. I'm kidding. We are brothers, and we love each other. Amen. So if we ask right, then we will be seeking right. His kingdom, His righteousness, seek His face. That's what I'm seeking, not how to get a better tractor on my acreage, although I could use one. Ask right, then you seek right, then you knock, and the door to His good, pleasing, perfect will opens, not for a moment, not for an issue, but for your life. And you walk out into the full, the good, the pleasing, perfect will of God. If we'll walk with Him, if we'll follow Him, if we love Him, if we will, with a whole heart, not a divided heart, if we will do that, He will walk with us. And I love it. I challenge myself every day about it, to not get divided by the rubbish that's going on, not be conformed to the world and its ideas, but walk with the living God. And then you will be a witness. Your life is your witness. Your life will be a witness. And you will be blessed like the book of Revelation says, blessed is the one, blessed is the one, no matter what's going on around. So walk with him now. Fight with him in the book of Revelation in that battle, and then reign with him forever. That's all coming. That's all in the line. Amen. How are you doing in your walk with God? How is it going? Where do you need to change it? I love the Word of God because it teaches us, it corrects us, it rebukes us, and it teaches us or trains us in righteousness. It's a training, an ongoing training to walk with the living God. The invitation is to you and to me. It's up to us to take the invitation and walk with the living God. I'm not talking about getting saved. I'm talking about walking with the living God. Amen. Think about it. Pray about it. Let God speak to you. Father, we just thank you for the chance to be together in the house of God. We thank you for the worship this morning, for the hearts and passion of people who love you. We thank you for the anointing that's in the room and for the beauty of it and the presence of the living God. And I pray, God, that you will speak to each heart this morning as we conclude this part of it, Lord, that you will just take your word by the power of the Holy Spirit and speak it into our hearts. Challenge our lives. Keep us growing and moving and walking with you, Father. And if there's someone here who doesn't know you, then this morning let it be the moment that they turn their heart to know you. And if there's some who do know you but are walking half-heartedly, divided loyalty, then I pray, God, conviction of the Holy Spirit that will draw them and call them and call them forth to give everything, to put it all on the line, to break the doubting or the double-mindedness that keeps us unstable and become strong in the Lord and committed to you, Lord. If there's those among us, help that to happen by the power of your Holy Spirit and the grace of the living God. And for all of us, Lord, help us to walk with you, to give everything for you, to be a martyr for you, to die for you in every aspect of that word. Help us, Father, so that we can walk with you and reign with you and enjoy the fruit and blessing and all the good things of walking with the living God. Bless this assembly, Lord. Bless the leadership. Bless the entire community of believers with your presence and your anointing in Jesus' name. Amen, and God bless you.